Hey guys, what's going on? This is Rachel and this is the Millennial Wave. I am super excited. This is episode 2 of this podcast and I have a very, very special guest. Very, very special guest with me today. And before I introduce him, I want to tell you guys I actually met this gentleman through social media. I think it was social media.
I believe so.
Yeah, social media. We end up going to the same high school. So I got a lot of high school buddies. We never met each other in high school. You graduated before me. But
a couple years off.
But we definitely went, you know, Intercom represent.
First class to go all the way through, though. Just wanted to throw that out.
That was the first class?
We were first class to go from freshman to senior.
Dang, you're savage. Yeah. 2008, don't hate, baby, right?
It's 08, don't hate.
08, don't hate. Anyway.
08, don't hate. That's how it was said, man.
So the guest that I have right now is Cam Scott. You can find him on Instagram at Cam, 6 A's.
You got it.
Yep. Anyway, so Cam, we just recently had a chance to reconnect probably after like a year of finding our way and ourselves and taking time to evaluate our lives.
The endless dance. Yes.
Yep. Yep. So I'm curious, because when I first met you, I met you through social media and we originally met to talk about business and entrepreneurship. Mm-hmm. What got you into that? Because I don't think I ever heard the story about what originally got you into it.
Yeah. And I think we were both marketing each other.
We were marketing each other.
I'm pretty sure that's why I went to go meet with you.
Oh, really?
I never told you that. Okay. Well, there you go. That was my opportunity. I was like, I'm going to go take advantage of to meet Rachel. So first off, I got to say thanks for having me. This is very exciting for yourself and for myself to actually come on here and to be able to share a little bit. So it's been cool to watch you over the last couple of years as we reconnected recently. And it's just cool to see things manifest, things materialize for you.
For sure.
This is exciting. This is a fun place, too.
I know. I remember. I don't know. Did I ever tell you I was going to create a podcast? Did I tell you about that when we were meeting up?
I don't know. It had been in the back of my mind. You know, it's kind of our generation's wave and stuff that. But see somebody actually do it. There you go. I saw how you spelled it, too. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. I wanted to do the WAYVE because at the end of the day, I think I might, in the logo, I might add like an arrow later. But the way, it's the millennial way, but it's also a wave. It's a movement, right? Yep. So I thought that would be dope. And it just randomly came to mind. It wasn't something that I thought about or I like really tried to articulate. It was more just like it came to mind and I just rolled with it. I didn't try to overthink it. I was like, you know what? It's cool. I'll do it.
Yep. I love organic and authentic and it has to just come naturally.
Exactly.
Those are the best hunches, right? So
boom.
To answer your question, my entrepreneurial journey began honestly by being a consumer of a product. And, you know, there's a lot of network marketing companies, MLM companies and things like that. And I was getting into nutrition and somebody had shared something with me. And I think a lot of people can relate to this is I just had a phenomenal experience on a product as a customer of something. No different than we do going to a regular store, just something that we fall in love with. And over about a 6-month period, just what I had experienced on the results of it. But then I really saw people who were sharing it with other people that were living the lifestyle that they wanted. Mm-hmm. And that right there would probably be the one thing that stuck out to me the most was I saw people living a lifestyle of freedom. And it's very vague, right? But it really starts vague as you get exposed to this community and this opportunity. And from there, it just really sunk in. I started to change my values on really what I valued in life, whether that be time, freedom, being with your family, financial opportunities, and so much more that I could go into, but it was really just seeing people living a lifestyle that I was like, I don't want to be stuck behind a desk forever. And it was at the exact same time that I was really settling into a desk job. So I got like going opposite directions. I'm like settling into a desk job at the same time that I'm seeing people build a life that they want. So it was really conflicting at first. And moral of the story is I just got involved. I jumped in and I mean, there's so much that's happened from then.
Yeah.
That was the beginning.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I think it's really cool how we end up getting introduced to things such as the companies that we've been introduced to, how it happens, and the type of mindset that we had before.
Yes.
And how much it changes. And just to make it clear, the reason why I even have guests on here, the reason why I even created this podcast was to be a voice for the millennial generation and talk about topics that I feel aren't being talked about and that they really don't have access to. Because I feel like we're at an age where obviously we can relate to our own generation. Mm-hmm. We can adapt to different people and different environments and different personality types. And I think this is something that will give a lot of value to people that are kind of stuck, that don't have mentorship, that don't have guidance, and that really want to chase after what they want but don't know exactly how to do it. They don't have the right platforms. They don't have the right guidance. So having something like this, being able to bring on other people that can shift their thinking, because it's all about how you think, right? It's all about how you think about things. It's all about mindset. If you have the right mindset, you can do anything. Yep. So that's one of the reasons why I'm excited to have you on here. And I always want to have guests and have entrepreneurs and people that are just artists or creators or someone that wants to make an impact, because that's what's going to give value to the audience, not someone that just comes on and talks about bullshit, right? So
but I laugh because there's a lot of that out there.
exactly. So we really want to provide value, especially in this, in the Sacramento community as well, because that's where we're starting, the millennial wave in Sac.
I love that you say that too, because to me, that's been probably the biggest thing that's changed throughout the entire process. Was at first it was, I think as humans or just being a part of society, I think we are inherently selfish. I think it kind of starts like that. And a lot of people don't know that they can actually stand for something bigger than themselves. I don't even think that they think that it's actually possible. And an example is kind of like just offering assistance or help to people. And some people are kind of caught off guard by it. Like, wait, what? Like they don't even know how to fathom it. You know what I mean? It's like, really, you're just about like, how can I actually help people? And it becomes the bigger mission. And the concept of value creation has been very deeply rooted in me. More so I'd say in about the last 3 or 4 months, to be honest with you, even though this has been about a 2.5 year journey. But it really is about, how do you add value to the marketplace? And whatever that means, again, it's kind of vague, but like you said, this is to kind of help people get into the right direction. And when you have your mind on value, on how you can actually help other people, it's been it's fun. At the end of the day, like the best part about it is it's really fun. It's cool to achieve your goals and stuff like that. But when your goals are around other people, you get to witness more than just a change within yourself.
Yeah.
You almost become a byproduct of what you do.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
No, absolutely. I agree. And I always try to tell people too, like, it's not about us. Mm-hmm. It's not about us. And as much as we want to, like, for example, how I messed up on the intro, I wanted to redo it, right? I made it about myself instead of like, okay, what if someone out there is trying to,
how do I look?
Yeah. I've had, I've come across people that, and even myself, we all sometimes care about the opinions of others or how we might look, but at the end of the day, it's not about us. Our experience can really impact someone else. Our story can help a lot of people, but if we're too afraid to share it, if we're too afraid to let it out to the world, then no one's going to benefit from it. Mm-hmm. Only us keeping it inside, because we think that it's better if it's not out.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yes, 100%. So, I believe the how is it said? Your story can be the key to unlocking somebody else's prison. And I was having conversation with somebody recently, because they're like, you know, I want to help people, but I don't really want to put myself out there. I don't want fame. I don't want to be known, and just that whole ordeal. And it's an interesting subject, because at the end of the day, that is, I don't think selfish is a bad thing. It's just that is selfish. You know what I mean? I think there's some really good value in being selfish for yourself, because I think the greatest way to exemplify to people is to change yourself. And when you show that you care about yourself, you're going to change. But it's true, like putting that story out there and actually exemplifying what it is. There's somebody out there who may literally never interact with you, may watch you, because I know I've done it. I've watched people on social media for years and I never comment. I don't like, you know what I mean? And for whatever reason, I don't really know what it is. I don't even have to know why. But the moral of the story is there's people that are watching your journey that you have a tremendous impact on that you may never know, or it may take years or centuries to even find out, or decades.
Exactly. And I think Tupac says something similar. I'm not going to quote Tupac here. Like, I don't know the full, like, if I don't quote him right, they're going to be like, that's not what he said.
He said this, right?
But he said something similar where he said, I might not be the person that changes the world, but I will spark the mind that does.
Oh,
right. So I thought that was cool too, because some people don't want the fame. They don't want to be known. But in reality, if you want to make a large impact, people are going to remember it. Mm-hmm. People are going to be thanking you. People are going to, it's the most fulfilling feeling, not just being thanked, but knowing that you helped somebody, knowing that you really made a difference.
Yeah.
So I'm also curious, because I've noticed with you getting to know you over the last, like, what, 2 years, almost 2 years.
Yeah.
For sure. Almost 2 years. Yeah. You're very self-aware.
Okay.
You catch everything, in my opinion. Like, for example, when I said earlier, I said, everyone is a flake. everyone isn't about their word. You said, what did you say? You said, you said
you're prophesying your future.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Words are powerful.
You're right. Yeah. They are. So what makes you so self-aware? How did you, was it just something that happened? Did you read a certain book? What sparked that self-awareness in you? Because again, you've made huge transitions over the last few years you've been in entrepreneurship. Yeah. So what really made you so conscious of the world around you?
It honestly started with a relationship, as a lot of people go through.
Like a relationship?
Yeah, a relationship with a significant other.
Okay.
And the short story of summing it up is I just realized that I was seeking fulfillment outside of myself. And it shed light on, actually, I was doing that with multiple people. So it just became, again, it was something deeply rooted in me. Essentially, it was a belief. It was subconscious, and I believe our beliefs are subconscious, and that's what we act out of. And I believe our words are actually exemplifying our beliefs. You know what I mean? The way you speak is coming from something very deep of what we believe in. And so once I kind of like woke up to that experience of somebody else had to make me feel fulfilled. I had to have somebody else that had to make me feel good. There's so many things that have happened. So like literally in this moment, just thinking about the things that have really stuck out to me is I'm not happy or fulfilled because of anything in this world that I experience. To tell you the truth, I'm happy and fulfilled because I am in this world. You know what I mean? By the pure fact that I'm alive is an absolute, eternal, perfect blessing in and of itself.
It is.
And you know what I mean? So like that alone.
We're like 1 in 400 trillion or something.
That's
like
what
that.
I'm saying. Like,
it's insane. And the fact that we even live in America, oh my gosh, Warren Buffett talks about it all the time.
Yeah.
He said, everything that, you know, I've gotten, everything that I've worked for, I've earned, but there was a part of luck in it. Part of luck was the fact that I was born in America, very blessed. Yeah. I was born to a family that didn't have much, but we had enough.
Yeah.
Things like that. So we're so blessed. Like, not just the fact to be alive, but the fact that we're in the country that we're in, we're actually human beings. We're not like animals.
Yeah.
I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
But one of the things that they also say about humans, human beings are the only living form that doesn't fulfill their true potential. Not just their true potential. They don't go to their full capacity. Like animals, they'll go to their full capacity. They'll live their life. You know what I mean? Like we let fear dictate how we make decisions for the most part. Not always, but most of the time. But with animals, they don't have that. We are the only living form that does not live up to our true.
You know what I believe it is? Is that animals lack imagination. Plants as well, other living. I believe that the imagination is the thing that we are most blessed with, because I believe the imagination is the creative force within us that allows us to then change who we are and change what we do. And this honestly is kind of going back to the question that you answered me, is this is what I realized. This is the, I guess, a form of conclusion that I kind of came to, is like we have a creative faculty inside of us that's called an imagination to become something different than we are. When an animal only knows itself to be the animal that it is, right? Or a plant knows itself to be. I know this might be very deep off top, but this is some things I think about. So
yeah.
Some things I feel like I've discovered. And we have the ability to literally become something tomorrow that I was not today. And where does that come from? I believe it comes from being able to use the imagination to get there. And I believe it's probably one of the most powerful forces that we have, if not the.
That's powerful. That is powerful.
Right?
And I'm curious, that mindset in everything that you're speaking into existence right now, is that just a mindset that you woke up with? What made you transition from Cam, working like in a relationship, doing what you do, your normal routine, to transitioning into entrepreneurship, being your own boss, impacting a lot of people? Not saying that you didn't want to do that before, what made that switch? Do you think you were just born with that mindset? Or do you think that other people that may be in a similar spot that you were in back in the day, how can they transform the mindset that they have into the one that you have, or something similar in the way that they think?
I'd say we all have it. I believe in this sense, we're all equal. We all have the same abilities. I do believe that. We may start at different places, different situations. But then again, that's society telling us that we're in a different position or situation. So then again, if you believe that, you know, you were created perfectly, then you are, you know what I mean? Maybe you weren't set out to achieve something else. To answer your question, what is it that really kickstarted that was I started to question everything. I literally stepped back in my life and I questioned every single thing that I had ever been told. Every single thing that's ever existed, whether you're talking about, I just was seeking. I just felt something that was empty. There wasn't, because I kind of went through that gap of, like I said, where I was seeking for something outside of me that was fulfilling to like, where is the fulfillment? Where does it come from? And I came across a series of people, a series of audios, a series of books that led to trails here, to trails there. But the moral of the story was I just started to question every single thing that I had ever been told. Whether you're talking about who I am, where I'm from, race, religion, culture, ethnicities, lifestyles, beliefs, essentially. And I started to realize that every belief that you have has come from somewhere. Right. And if you go all the way back to a child being born, how do they develop into who they become? And they're pretty much told from their environment, a certain something that, you know, they're given a race, an ethnicity, a religion, a name, a job, a duty. And these turn into beliefs and they turn into a personality. And if you look at that word, it's a personality. Right. So we become this person of what's been put into us. And, just questioning all of it, you know what I mean? To really look on the underline of like, what am I beyond all of that? You know what I mean? And, I guess the greatest word that comes to it, it's a spiritual understanding, a non-physical understanding, that what are we, you know what I mean? Behind the mask that we wear, you know? And I believe if somebody wants to change their life, they literally have the ability, and I snap my fingers because I believe it is that quick, to see themselves as something different. And the only work to be done is to hold yourself in the belief that that's who you are. And however long that takes is for different. At the end of the day, it comes down to belief. These are very scriptural references too, about faith, belief, and allowing it to really come in. And so once I found the experience of, if I'm this person today and I can be this person tomorrow and I can be this person the next day, then what are these? They're just masks that we wear, right? Yeah. And so who am I on a spiritual level? And that's where I really started to understand, like I said, the imagination, being able to create, that we are creators. Like I believe that each of us are the creator of our reality and we have that ability to do so through the power of imagination, belief. And even these words that we speak are like physical words, like language doesn't articulate something that can only be experienced.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But yes. Yeah, so I mean, this is... Yeah, no, kind of what I went through.
Okay, so do you think that the first thing with developing a certain mindset, the type of mindset that you have, more self-awareness, is understanding who they are, what their core beliefs are? You think that's the 100%. First step?
And I think there's two ways of looking at it. There's, again, I mean, the only words I can come up with is, like I said, non-physical or spiritual realm of like who you are, like a soul. You know what I mean? Like the soul that we talk about. So if you look at it from a physical aspect, it's understanding who are you from these masks that we wear? What are your beliefs? What do you get of value in the physical world? But then also the self-awareness of understanding like where you've come from and why you have the ability to change who you are today to be somebody else. They're kind of two different aspects, you know what I mean? I dove into it all on a very intellectual standpoint, but once I started to understand it intellectually, I started to experience it on another level. And that's where I was like, all right, this shit's real.
It's real out here.
Yeah, it's real.
Yeah, it's so real. I remember, I think I've told you this before too. I listened to this guy named Peter Voog. He's an entrepreneur out of like SoCal. Well, he's from Oregon, but he lives in SoCal. And he wrote this book called 6 Months to Six Figures. Yeah. Have you read it?
It's in my bookshelf. Remember we had this conversation? I have that book.
I for some reason, I thought that you had read it. I don't remember.
I did not read it yet, but
me
it is there.
Me either. And I went to a mastermind of his. I'm not even going to lie. I didn't even read it.
Hopefully he's not listening to this now and he'll listen to it after you read it.
I mean, he will one day. He will one day.
After you read it.
No, I'm kidding. Yeah, I'll read it. But he was doing an interview with Gerard Adams, who's also an entrepreneur. And Gerard was talking to him about his book. And Peter said that when he was dead broke, and right before he went from dead broke to 6 months, six figures. He did one thing that helped him get there. And I thought in my head, okay, what's the one thing that you had to do before anything else to help you get to six figures in 6 months? I thought, strategy, duh. You have to have a strategy. You system, have to right. have a plan, you know? And he said, no strategy. I had clarity on who I am, who I'm not, mm-hmm. and who I want to become. Yeah. And that absolutely, I tell people all the time, that changed my thinking forever. Mm-hmm. Then that was on the surface. It changed my thinking of who I am, who I want to be, who I'm not. Things like that. It kept me in check with what I'm willing to do, what I'm not willing to do, who I'm willing to talk to, who I'm not. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Things like that. When you know your core values, when you know your beliefs. Yes. Then I started reading Brandon Burchard's book called Six Performance Habits. I'm still reading that right now. But the first chapter about the six performance habits of like the most successful people in the world. These are the performance habits that they have. Number one, seeking clarity. Constantly seeking clarity. Three words to describe your future self. Things like that.
Yeah.
He talked about clarity on an even deeper level, like action steps, examples, all that. That, the what Peter said changed my thinking, but what Brandon wrote in his book changed everything.
Gave you away, right?
Oh my gosh, it was insane. And now I'm clear on who I am, the type of person I want to become, the vision that I have. And I think anyone watching this right now, if you're going to go into entrepreneurship, if you're going to go after your dreams, if you're going to go and play a sport, whatever it is, you got to become clear on who you are mm-hmm. and who you want to be. Because the person that you are right now, if you wanted, okay, let's say you're dead broke right now, right? And you want a Lambo in the future. You want to live in a mansion. We're just talking materialistic right mm-hmm. now. That's all we're talking
example.
About. Yeah, yeah, easiest example for anyone to understand, right? Yeah. Some people, no, I'm kidding. I'm not even going to go there. But
I'll do it.
I know, right? But I'll tell you, let's say you want a Lambo in the future and you're dead broke right now, and then you have a vision to get a Lambo in the next 6 months. Well, the person that you are right now is not going to get a Lambo in 6 months if you stay the same. Mm-hmm. If you were gonna get a Lambo, you would have already got one because of who you are and what you're doing. If you think that what you're doing right now is gonna get you a Lambo in 6 months, if you've been doing it for the last 6 years, what something has to change. Mm-hmm. You have to change.
Yep.
So the person that you are right now will not get you where you want to be. You have to become different. And mm-hmm. a lot of people are like, well, I don't want to change. People would say, don't change up. Don't change up.
Yeah, you got to be teachable.
Yeah. It's not that you have to change who you are on the inside. When I still get around people that I haven't seen in a while, they'll be like, you haven't changed at all. Be like, yeah, because you haven't. When I have a deep conversation with someone, when I'm actually able to have a conversation like this with someone that's on the same wavelength, it's a lot more.
I like the pun.
It's a lot more deep and actually valuable. But when you come across people that maybe aren't doing the same things as you, that can't relate, that you can only have certain conversations with, because maybe you don't even want to have a deep conversation with that person, because mm-hmm. you don't feel like they'll understand. You don't even really want them to understand. You're just trying to do your own thing.
Yeah.
Those are people that say, well, man, you haven't changed at all. Yeah, because I'm not showing you the side that I want to show you. I'm choosing to act how I act. This is who I am. But there's other parts of every person. Mm-hmm. Everyone's different, right? You might see someone on the outside that's a total dick. But on the inside, maybe he's actually really hurting. You know? So we never really know. We only see what's out on the surface. People only choose what they want to see. They choose what they want to give out. Not everyone wants to, you know, release it all at once.
Yeah.
And then some people choose to just be crazy and be themselves all the time around anyone. No filter.
I want to add to that, that environment concept. Something that I've experienced was, I guess maybe this will speak to the people that are either going through or are wondering how, like, they change their environment about the people that they're around constantly. And I noticed this, that environment stimulates change. Your environment has a bigger impact on you than you do on your environment, as powerful as we are as individuals. And you become a new person when you're in a new environment constantly, again, through repetition. And I believe change only happens through repetition or emotional impact. And going into a situation like that, you become a new person. And I noticed that once I became a new person, I started to go and hang out with friends that I had previously throughout life. And it felt like I'm very much into the energy piece. And I know a lot of people say that, but like I literally like I study that more than anything else. And you start to feel like you're trying to not anything specifically, but just the environment puts you back to the puzzle piece you've been in the past. You know what I mean? And it's like, that's around that group. That's who you are. That's the piece. And that's almost, I don't really use the word comfortable and uncomfortable very often, but that's the only uncomfortable thing that I've experienced, because it's like, ooh, that, this isn't me anymore. Like, yeah. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not this person anymore.
Yes.
And you truly have to, the strength from it comes from standing true to the beliefs that you now have. Again, like I said, it's holding that consciousness of that which you desire to be is the only way to become that which you desire to be. And in those environments, when you start to experience like, wow, I actually stood to who I really am without even trying, that's, I feel like, when you know you've made strides in changing who you are. Again, it's like getting from that spending so much time at the conscious competence level of doing something that now you're unconsciously competent in doing something that you're not even trying anymore. And it came from being in that environment and experiencing that, and then going back to it again over the years and being like, oh, wow, like I didn't even think about it anymore, but I didn't feel that like I did in the past.
So would you say that you've cut a lot of people off within the last couple of years since you've been on your journey?
I don't feel like I've done it. It just happens. I believe in, I believe that
outgrow each other.
Yeah. It just kind of happens. Like, I don't believe action is required. I believe action is inspired. So again, like, what behaviors and attitudes and decisions and choices fire out of, like I said, the subconscious mind and how we act, I believe it just happens. So when you change the subconscious mind, that's just what you become. That's just what you do. Like, I just find myself not hanging out with them. You know what I mean? I'm not cold and callous. I just don't really, you know, I don't find myself calling them or inviting them to things, and they don't really call me for whatever reason. I just believe on an energetic level, it just doesn't match. You know what I mean? Like, again, we try to use physical words to explain this frequency vibration type thing, but if they literally don't click, then it just doesn't click. So I don't believe it's at first, maybe it is a conscious effort to not do it. Like I said, the conscious level. And then it just becomes, you don't even think about it. You just find yourself not really hanging out with them because you're not inspired to, you know
exactly.
What I mean? So it's not really targeting it. Maybe at first it is, but then ultimately it just kind of becomes natural, like where you find yourself.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And well, what about this? Because they say that you should be spending time around people that are obviously maybe at a higher level. They're at where mm-hmm. you want to be, because mm-hmm. that'll help you grow and push to go harder and get to that level.
Yeah.
And then there's people that are maybe doing the same thing as you, that are working towards their own goals, that are very ambitious. Like, yes.
Okay.
Ty Lopez talks about it.
Okay.
Okay. Did you hear it from Ty Lopez, or did you just hear it in general?
I don't know. Probably. Again, okay. Just fire out.
What do you think about that? The law of 33. So for anyone that doesn't know, basically spending 33% of your time with people that are doing mm-hmm. better than you, that are doing the things that you want to do, that you're working towards, then 33% of people that are on the same type of mission as you, maybe not the same ministry, maybe not the same thing, but they're on that same wavelength.
Yeah.
Then we have the 33% that you maybe have influence over. They maybe look up to you, or they're not doing the same thing as you, and you really don't see yourself benefiting from anything that they bring to the table necessarily, but you still spend time. Because I remember my mentor said, he said, Rachel, sometimes you have to hang around certain type of people to remind yourself who you really should be hanging around. And I was like, dang, that was so true. Because at the time I was in a situation where I was spending a lot of time with certain people, and I had that same thought as you. I was like that puzzle piece. It's like, it's coming back. Mm-hmm. I feel weird. I feel not myself. I feel out of place.
Yeah.
I feel like my mindset is so different now. Yeah. I don't even know if I'm doing myself a disservice. I'm doing them a disservice.
Yeah, you really are.
Yeah.
If you're not in it. You know what I mean? If your heart's not in it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the law of 33%, I think that's really powerful, and I actually still do it to this day. And sometimes when I am hanging around people that are not on the same wavelength, I remind myself who I really should be around.
Yeah.
And it helps me.
I think also it's, if you're spending your time around those people, entrepreneurs don't work for money.
Never.
You know what I mean? You don't, you work for opportunities, you work for, connections, you work for value, you know what I mean? To really open up doors, and not just for yourself. But if I know somebody that is very good at something that I don't do, and I meet somebody such as yourself that I think that's not my cup of tea, that's not what I do, but I can connect you to somebody, you know what I mean? That's giving value to somebody or a body of somebody's.
And helps build the relationship.
Yeah,
too.
Exactly. You know what I mean? And at the end of the day, what are we put here to do? Like, to be blissfully happy, right? And if you're helping other people and you have happy people around you and you're laughing, well, you're gonna have a damn good time, right?
Exactly.
So yeah, that's what I believe. The law of 33 comment, I believe it comes down to one thing is, all parties have to be teachable. You know what I mean? Like, if I'm going to spend my time with somebody who is further along in their success, is how I would say it. I wouldn't even say they're more successful. But
what
just,
is success, right? Everyone's different. Buddha.
Yeah.
Because he was actually alive.
I haven't studied
Buddha
yet.
He was like Buddha a real yet. Person. Oh, okay. Well, he was like a real dude. And they may say he's successful, but it's not like he had a lot of money.
Yeah.
right? Or there was one woman. Oh my gosh, I don't even know the woman, the nun.
Oh,
Mademoiselle. I don't know. Damn it.
Mother Teresa.
Mother Teresa. Mother Teresa. They may say she's successful, but do you really think that, like, most people look at success as money?
Yeah.
Right. A lot of money, fame, whatever.
And that's why we got a question. I'm going to jump in right there. That's why you have to question everything that society has ever told you to tell you that you're successfully defined by the money that you've made or the items that you've manifested. Like, people start chasing dreams that are other people's dreams. Right? Like, they're not even your dreams. And that's where, if you get down the path of success, what people have called success, they ultimately will fall back to what we just talked about, the self-awareness. If they don't find it, if you don't have a foundation in self-awareness on who you are and what you're doing and your values, like I said, whether you're talking physically or non-physically, you will at some point relapse to that. And you see a lot of people that, like, get successful, again, very vague term, and then they fall back. And it all has to do with themselves, right? Like, they lose themselves. You hear about these, whether it's an athlete or a musician or something like that, they don't know who they are. You know what I mean? And that's why I believe it's so important to have that value, that foundation of knowing who you are, what you're capable of, and ultimately what you want. You know, the whole be, do, have type concept. You got to set that from the ground. Otherwise, you eventually will relapse to it.
Love that.
Yeah.
Love
it. It's very vital.
Yeah. And like I said, they may say Mother Teresa's successful, but that doesn't mean she has a lot of money. Did she have a lot of money? Absolutely not.
Yeah, yeah.
But she's successful because of the impact that she made and because she loves what she does.
Yeah.
She defines her success.
Yeah.
Us looking at it is just us as the people that are looking from the outside in, what we think, you know? Like, we may look at people that are Jordan Belfort, right? The Wolf of Wall Street, super successful. But at the end of the day, what if he hated it? Well, in the movie, kind of is a little different. But what if he hated what he did? You know, we never know. People are, what we look at as success is not everyone else's perception.
Yeah.
So.
And it goes further beyond money, too. It's like you look at physiques, bodies. You know what I mean?
Health.
Know, I can say it's more common in women, you know, the type of thing where you look at, like, this perfect figure and stuff like that. Like, that defines success. It doesn't have to. If you believe it so, then yeah, it does. But it doesn't have to define you. Like, that's not success, is looking like what society thinks is the best. Because then again, who's telling you that that's the best? You look at TV, you look at news and all that type of stuff. Have you ever listened to Earl Nightingale?
Is he the one that wrote The Slight Edge?
I don't know. Okay. I don't know if he wrote that. The Stranger's Secret is what
I've
he's
heard
known
of
for.
That, and I've definitely heard him on an audio before, but okay. It was
really
for
deep
some
voice,
book.
Super deep
it was
voice.
For some book.
Okay.
But yeah.
I don't know about a book, but
I've seen him on certain shows, like, back in the day. Like, he was on,
this,
like,
is like the early 1900s.
Oh, then never mind.
He's way back.
I saw someone walking down through an audience talking. Maybe it was
1940s,
Bob Proctor
50s or something.
Or Brian Tracy.
Bob Proctor's another one that goes for days. But Earl Nightingale, I believe, is to me, it's the greatest definition of success. Is it's the progressive realization of a worthy ideal.
Say it again.
The progressive.
Not for me. For the audience. Say that again.
The progressive realization of a worthy ideal. And to me, what the translation that comes to me, again, Earl Nightingale, is it speaks volumes to, again, loving your process. It's what you and I were talking about recently, and about some Gary Vee stuff that he shared, was like, if you are in love with what you're doing on a daily basis in pursuit of something, that's success, right? Because it's not like, what if you achieve all these physical items and you have no joy, you have no clarity, you have no happiness along the way, right? Then what, that's success? No, it's through the process, because you can't not want. As a physical being, you can't not want. Even if you want peace or you want nothing, you want nothing. Like, you want peace, right?
Question.
Yeah. By the way, it's the title of that is Earl Nightingale, The Strangest Secret.
The Strangest
Secret. Yeah, it's like a 30-minute audio. I definitely
Oh, that's all?
It.
It's just an audio? It's not
Yeah,
a book?
It's written in book, too.
So oh, okay.
So you can get it in a book form.
Cool. Okay, yeah. Question. Mm-hmm. During your process, you're still obviously going, we're all going through the process,
always.
Right? We're always on our journey.
Yeah.
Have you ever had a time when you didn't enjoy it?
Of course.
When?
Before I found myself. Before I discovered who I am. Before the self-awareness.
Through your journey, though, of entrepreneurship.
Yeah, because I'd say that I didn't really start to discover who I was until probably, I don't know, spring or summer of last year. Probably like March or April is where it really started.
I feel like I didn't until late last year, 2017, like my birthday.
Wait, I might
November.
Be talking about 2016 or 2018. I don't know. Anyways,
yeah.
I think it's 2017, but yeah, it sounds about right.
It was after I heard Peter Voog. That's when I decided to take a deep dive into who I am.
So what gives you, who am I? What gives you the answers? Where do you feel this clarity comes from for you? What provides
what it? I know I enjoy.
Okay.
What I know I love. What I know I want to get better at as well. Okay. Like some of my beliefs, I may not be the best at them, right? But I believe in them and I want to get better. So some of the things, these aren't always like beliefs or core values, but some of the things that I really love is communication, mm-hmm. you know, emphasis on the podcast,
yep.
and having people on and having a conversation for however long, but communication, but not just communication and talking, but listening or finding a way to make someone else feel good. You know, just any type of communication is all throughout the world. Is it not mm-hmm. just money that doesn't make the world go around, also communication and relationships and how we build it, right? Yeah. How we distribute that. But communication, leadership, integrity doesn't mean that I'm the best at them, but I want to get better at them. Those are the things that I also see myself doing. And I'm working towards it every single day to become better with my integrity or being honest all the time, even if it's going to hurt somebody's feelings, because so many people don't want to hurt feelings, mm-hmm. right? We all don't want to hurt someone's feelings for the most part.
Again, changes only happen by repetition or emotional impact.
Exactly.
So you impact them, they change.
Exactly. Yes. I agree. And sometimes being honest, even if they get upset, they'll respect you for it.
100%.
Rather than you lying to them to make them feel good, and then they end up, you know, just because they feel good, it makes you feel worse.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
So things like that. But I would just say who I know I want to be. It's kind of hard to explain because everyone's different. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're very good at explaining things and how this all roots deep inside of you and how it comes out to fruition and whatnot. But for me, just the core values, I think I'm still finding my voice. I'm still testing it out.
Yeah.
There's other things down the line that I know I'm going to enjoy, that I know I'm going to work at, that I know I'm going to add into my beliefs and my core values. I know I'm going to add those things in later on.
Yeah.
It's not like I've got it all figured out right now, but I do know what I'm working towards. And I know that along the way, throughout the journey, more is going to come, more mm-hmm. opportunities, more growth in my mindset.
Mm-hmm.
And from that, it'll just all kind of build up that foundation.
Yeah.
And it'll make me who I want to be.
Yeah.
Ultimately. So that's what I would say about that.
Yep.
But well, I forgot what I was asking you before about, because we were talking about core values, but man, yeah, I don't know. I would say also another one that's big is health, yeah. core value, health. Oh my gosh. That was like one of my first things, wellness in all aspects,
mm-hmm.
not just wellness in like physical, but what you put in your body, how wellness, how you think,
mentally, spiritually, physically, yeah,
yes,
the whole nine,
wellness, just well-being, that was important too. So that's one of the main ones. I'm gonna move this a little bit.
You're good.
But yeah, I mean,
yeah, I believe because I went down the nutrition path, that's where, like I said, it started for me.
Yeah,
I've come to this strange conclusion that I'm still probably seeking clarity on is, I believe that we look how we eat.
Agreed.
Right. A lot of people would agree with that one, but 100%. The second one might make you think, but we feel how we think.
I agree. I'm clapping right now, guys. I am clapping. Say that again for him.
I just believe we look how we eat and we feel how we think. And if you, again, you start to study, again, I questioned everything. Like I questioned everything, and you look at modern medicine, food, and a lot of people are waking up to, and it's really cool to see like the world becoming conscious.
100%.
Then again, I believe this was all put together by something bigger than all of us. You know what I mean? Like this was all destiny, I guess is the word. You have to be, it's what you consume. You become what you consume, but it's so much more than physically. Like I said, it's mentally. Like what are the thoughts that you're consuming? What are the words that you're consuming? What are the ideas that you're consuming? The beliefs that you're consuming, and all that type of stuff. So I believe that contributes to who you are tremendously, because you got people that, I've been lean my entire life, but until I actually changed the way I ate, which ultimately led to changing the way I thought, I didn't start to feel better. You know what I mean? Because I started to eat different, which I did start to feel better because my body started to do different things as I'm getting involved in other things. So my thinking started to change. Again, probably a lot of it's placebo, to tell you the truth. Wow. You know what I mean? Because it's the thoughts.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, there's studies out there of people who have had cancer and they're just like, whatever, okay, I got a couple weeks to live. I'm just going to go live my life and smile and laugh. And what do? They end up with no cancer. These aren't the stories that you hear on the news.
I've never heard of that.
That might be something. Somebody could hear that and go, that's just fake. But they'll turn around and believe everything that you see on the news.
That's my dad.
So again, it doesn't matter whether you believe this or you believe that. At the end of the day, it's a belief. And what
everything is a belief.
Exactly. If you believe it to be true, it is. If you believe things are hard, if you believe things are difficult, that's another thing I could go into is, and I know some people may question this because it's like, Cam, you don't have $1 million, $1 billion in your bank account. You haven't done all this and that. But if people got to tell you that it's a struggle, it's difficult, it's hard, it's frustrating to be successful and stuff like that, they're not leading you to alignment. They're not leading you to self-awareness. They're not leading you to who you truly are at the source. Because I believe that we are truly blissfully loved, just in whatever sense of that means, not the goopy love of people all over each other, like just love, like perfection. I believe that's who we are. We were created perfectly, right? And if anybody tells you that it has to be difficult for you to achieve something, they're literally only telling you their story. They're telling you what it was for them to achieve, right?
Everyone's so
if we were having this conversation last year, like I said, March or April, I would have been telling you the sob story of how I got to where I was, right? Because that's the only thing I could tell you. But if there's somebody who struggled to success, you can follow them. That's cool. That's their makeup.
It's duplicatable.
You can get there. Hey, but it is though, because people follow it, right? And it works. Some people, difficult. Yeah. It's difficult to people and they make it though. But I've just come to the conclusion that I don't have to struggle today to be happy tomorrow. That I can be happy today because I'm loving my process, what I'm doing, because I'm not living somebody else's dream that's been force-fed to me or what society has told me I got to do. And I've seen the fruits of this, you know what I mean? So at first it was intellectual, but like when you start experiencing and feeling and witnessing certain things happening into your life, you're like, all right, this shit's real. You know what I mean? So like, that's really the only way I can sum it up is only by speaking from experience. So somebody's always telling you their experience, which again builds their belief because they think that's the way, because that's the way that they took. But that's why I encourage you to ask these questions and to seek and really, really question who you're listening to. You know what I mean? To listen to people who have what you want. And yeah, so somebody may have the financial, the physical cars, the money and stuff like that, but do they have the relationship with their wife or spouse or husband, with their kids? Do they have kids? Do they have the clarity? Do they speak like they want to? Do they have the confidence that you want? Do they have the body, the health, the habits that they want? You know what I mean? You take stuff from different people, but just find the people that truly have what you want, and then you can focus on just taking that piece from them.
And I feel like it's so hard. I just caught myself saying, I feel like it's so hard.
It's good.
But this is how I feel. I feel like it's really hard to find someone that has everything that you want. Mm-hmm. And I don't think there ever is.
I don't think there's supposed to be.
Because imagine if you came across someone that had the body, the money, the lifestyle, the thought process, the family that you wanted. Would you really switch lives with them if you had the opportunity?
Well,
no.
One of the greatest examples is look at Kobe and MJ. I believe, again, this is my belief. I'll admit it up front. This is a belief.
Okay.
That Kobe tried to be MJ. And everybody says, well, he'll never be MJ. By the pure fact of the statement, he can't be because he's not. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So he had to take what MJ did and somehow make it better.
Yeah.
And if you look at what he did, he just copied him with less athleticism and stuff like that.
Are you a Kobe hater? Are you hating on Kobe?
I'm a Kobe fan, bro.
Oh, really?
Kobe's the truth.
Okay, cool. All right, it's good. Okay, you like, I'm
but,
glad.
Wait. So okay. We don't even have to go into the context of who's better.
People are going to think that you are a Kobe hater
cool.
right now.
But see, I don't have to be loud
honest,
about it because I just have the truth.
But you're being honest.
Yeah, yeah.
You're being real, even if it might hurt Kobe's feelings.
Wait. Let me articulate it, though. I didn't say that he wasn't better or worse. That's not what it is. I said that he's not MJ.
He isn't.
And he'll never be. Right? So you can't ever be somebody else. Nobody ever will be somebody else.
Yeah.
So if you copy somebody, you can get really close to being them, but you'll never be them.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean you can't be better either because you can be something else.
And you can possibly copy certain aspects mm-hmm. of their life just because you maybe you want to copy how he dribbles, how he shoots, how he plays defense.
Mm-hmm.
But what would you want to copy his relationship with his wife?
Yeah.
Maybe not.
Yeah.
I don't know about his life with his wife, but I'm just saying. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah, 100%. So like that's
there's
that's
certain aspects. I want to copy Ray Higdon with how he presents himself, but that doesn't mean I want his daughter.
Yeah.
I don't.
Yeah.
And I don't want his wife either. But I love him and I love the family. I'm just saying. I'm just, you know, I'm a female. So. And I don't want kids right now. So anyway. See? You know what I mean? So that's just like how you look
see,
at
I made
it.
I made the comment to somebody. For those of you that know Kevin Trudeau out there, like he was in jail and somebody was like, so you want to be like Kevin Trudeau and he's in jail. I said, no, I just love his ability. That was
that.
You, right?
That was me.
Yeah, that was
that.
You. And I was like, no, see, I don't want to be in jail like him, but I love the way that he takes information and makes it very simplistic to understand.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So that's a skill set that you can take from somebody and not have to be that person. Exactly. You know what I mean? So, I mean, you look at Warren Buffett, he's a phenomenal investor, right? One of the greatest, if not besides him and Ben Graham, I think was the other guy that was his mentor.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? So somebody else that we may not know a lot just because he's not in our air. But Warren Buffett's not on stage public speaking in a hoorah teaching that, you know what I mean? So you wouldn't go get public speaking skills from him.
Never.
But you can learn some investing advice, which actually something recently I learned that to this day, Warren Buffett's never invested in technology.
Really?
Never, right? And you would think of with the boom, he would have got involved, right? But you know why? You know why? Because he had a philosophy. And like that's
he knew
the whole
himself.
Thing. Yeah, exactly. It started from knowing himself, what he wanted to do. I can't say I studied enough about his philosophy, but the answer was why he never invested in it is it's just he didn't know anything about it. So when you start to like, if we took this conversation to business and stuff like that, you get a lot of people that get involved in different things and they don't know anything about it. You know what I mean? And like, why don't you get really good at something and master that? You know, diversification for people that don't understand all the different things that they diversify themselves in. They're just going to go back to stop leaks later on. And Warren Buffett was like, that's not my cup of tea. I don't know anything about it, so I'm not going to invest in it.
And he clearly doesn't want to know anything
about
it.
Yeah, right? He still doesn't, right? He's still not getting involved
with
all
those books he's reading. It's not about technology, that's for sure.
Yeah, right?
I love Warren Buffett. That's actually funny because when I was in college, I remember right before I got into entrepreneurship, I had this missing piece where I was like, okay, I'm going to school, I'm working, I'm playing a sport, I'm volunteering, I'm doing all this shit. But I'm still not fulfilled. I'm the type of person I would always put a lot on my plate. Even to this day, I still have a lot on my plate. But it all builds each other up. Yeah. With volunteering, it didn't build up school necessarily. Yeah. With the sport, not really. They were all so different. But of course, that's my thought process. I could have built it up if I wanted. But with what I do now, it all just kind of ties together and helps one another. But when I was first looking into entrepreneurship, I didn't know who to go to. I didn't have a mentor. I didn't know who to talk to. Yeah. All I knew was my parents. I didn't want to live that lifestyle. I wanted something different, but I didn't know who to go to.
Yeah.
All I could think of was Warren Buffett. I don't know what made him come to mind. It definitely wasn't Bill Gates. I was just like, Warren Buffett. Because I love old people too. I love old people. He's so cute. Yeah. I wouldn't want to say that. That's awkward. But
I think he's a good man.
I want to meet him one day. So anyway, I would go to SF. I would drive there for like certain projects and things like that. And I would listen to him and he would talk about investing and mindset and how he got to where he was and just how humble he was, how humble and how genuine and how honest he was when he stood up on a stage, like in front of a classroom. Usually he would speak at like colleges, but that's what got me into business and entrepreneurship. And that's when I realized it wasn't just when I got involved in the industry that we're in. It was more so when I heard him talk about business.
Yeah.
And building something of your own and building something where you can give back and that will allow you to have the things that you want, but still live a good life. Make sense? Like
Warren
Buffett. Yeah, exactly. Like have money, have whatever, but have the fulfillment attached to it. And that's what got me excited because I thought that if I wanted to make an impact, give back to my family and have a life where I didn't have to worry about money, I would have to be an actress or I'd have to be, I swear, that was my thought process. I used to want to be an actress for the longest time, but I would never be super consistent or go all out for it because I knew in the back of my head, I wanted the benefits of it. I didn't want the actual job. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So when I got introduced to business, that's when I realized this is what I'm meant to do. It may not be what I'm doing forever, but this is the platform.
Yeah.
This is the way that'll get me where I want to go.
Yeah.
And I'm excited.
I mean, you have to find what really lights you up. You know what I mean? So it's like one of the biggest things you can give to people is just seek until it feels right. You know what I mean? And that comes from the seeking for the self-awareness on who you are, but seeking on like whatever you get involved in. It's okay to get involved with something and then divert and do something else, because you wouldn't have that clarity if you didn't go that path. You know what I mean? So I don't focus too much on the first business that I got involved in. I still do a little bit just because I believe in the mission, and I believe in just the mission, you know what I mean, behind it. But it wasn't what really lit me up. Like I wasn't, like I said, my actions were not inspired to like go out and actually do the necessary steps. And that's really what you have to find is like, and I'm not saying, actually, I'll preface it by saying this. If you question about doing something, if you question the difficulty in doing something, it's probably not for you. We talk so much about, is it hard or easy? Again, because they're probably looking at somebody else's dream.
Yeah, they're not thinking about theirs.
Which isn't bad, because if you don't have one, there's people that don't have a dream.
Borrow someone else's.
That's what I'm saying. For the meantime.
Yeah, get inspired.
Yeah, exactly. Just getting that going, and then you can divert to something that does. But at the end of the day, if it doesn't truly light you up, if you don't feel inspired to do it, then it's not for you. Because if you're questioning the difficulty in it, it's not right for you. Because it shouldn't be difficult. When you love doing what you do, like... people only retire from things that they only did for money. You know what I mean? If you're going to make the money, you're going to retire from it. You know what I mean? Which really means to like go out to the pasture. Retire literally means to like go out, to like check out. Yeah, be done. And you look at the most successful people, the Warren Buffetts, the Bill Gates, the Jeff Bezos, the
even Michael Jordan,
Steve Jobs. Exactly.
He's so immersed in the industry.
That's what I'm saying. He'll like never, maybe his body can't perform to it again, but he's still in basketball.
He's all over.
You know what I mean? Yeah,
people are turning 23 and saying, "My Jordan year,"
right?
Like, you know what I mean? It's my Jordan year. Like
talk about influence.
His number is that influential.
Yeah, right?
What the actual fuck? No, I'm kidding. But you know what? No, I you should hear my first podcast. Fuck, bitch.
I know you got me cussing again. I haven't done it yet, so it's good.
I really wanted, because at the end of the day, like. I feel like this is such a good release, and this is why I love having people on, because there's so many things that you talked about that I can't talk about. I just learned so much from you, and I know for a fact the audience will learn way too much, like that they can even process. So you're gonna have to, you know, re-listen over and over. But either way, it's just so valuable, and I just feel like this is such a good release for anyone, no matter who you are, what you're doing. This is a great way to sit down and really share your thoughts. And I think when people leave, they get more clarity on, oh, wow, you know, I learned this and that. I really enjoyed that, and this is where I'm at. Talking about you talking about your life, I feel like correct me if I'm wrong, but you talking about your life and everything that you're doing, you leave saying, you know what? In that room, I felt super clear. Mm-hmm. I felt confident about who I am.
Oh, yeah.
And that's what happens to me when I have conversations with people, and they make me think, and then I leave and I'm like, wow, that really changed my way of thinking. I'm going to start doing this.
Yeah.
You know? And also I wanted to talk about when you were saying that not everything is for everyone. Sometimes you have to borrow someone else's dream in order to go and find your own.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many times when I've had people that I've worked with, like business partners, become a part of the team, and they would do it, right? And then they would leave and be like, you know what? This helped me so much. It made me realize that I'm actually really passionate about this.
I love it.
I used to get pissed. I wouldn't be pissed, but I'd be like, man, shut the fuck up. Like, I'm like, what? This one guy, okay, I'm just going to say it. This one guy, he like did it. He didn't really do it, but he was like, you know what? This made me realize that I want to go start a clothing line or something like that. Start some type of business. I'm like, bro, if you can't do this, you definitely can't do that. That's what I was thinking in my head. But that's because I was salty.
Yeah.
I made it all about me. I didn't make it about them. But honestly, I'll be real. When I come across people that I used to work with and we talk, they always tell me, Rachel, all the skills and the actual personal growth that I got from working within this team has helped me, not just in the business, but in real life. And that right there, I've heard it way too many times from people that actually were doing it. Yeah. You know what I mean? Not the people that fucking did it for a second and then, oh, I realize it's not for me. Like, no, bro, you're just a quitter, right? But you're probably thinking in your head some shit right now.
Well, I just got an example to add to this.
But when people actually immerse themselves and want to grow and want to, the reason why people join a movement is because they want to be a part of something. They either want to learn, they want to grow, they want to develop, they want more.
Yeah.
No one joins because they want to stay stagnant. No one does something different because they want to stay the same. They want to change. They want to do different things.
Yeah.
And when I hear people, even if they are not on the same mission as me, even if we are not doing the same exact thing, knowing that something that I had access to and that I gave them access to, or I showed them the way, I showed them the path, they brought the energy here and there, but then they took that energy somewhere else, knowing that the skills that they got on that path, the growth, the mindset, knowing that that actually helped them, most fulfilling thing. And I used to be selfish about it, and now when I hear it, I'm like, I'm so happy for you. Go after what you want, keep those skills in your back pocket, and keep doing what you're doing.
Yep.
So I love it.
I love actually, I do want to, I want to say something. I've actually come to learn that the brain actually doesn't want to change.
Really?
Your subconscious brain wants to remain the same. And I'm not going to go into it very deep, because like I said, I encourage people to seek first and foremost, to really seek. Your brain doesn't want to change. Your brain wants to remain the same. But people on a conscious level, so the subconscious doesn't want to change, but your conscious mind, people say that they want to change. But the actions coming out of the subconscious mind are not changing, right? So you have to change those subconscious beliefs. So for whatever this trail that I'm going to leave right here is, it's really understanding the mind on how to change that. Because everybody says on a conscious level, I want that, I want this, I want that. But again, they don't have the belief that they either can have it, or that they will get it, or that they are it, which is actually the true step to change. But that comes from getting those beliefs to be subconscious. And until they are, you'll never change. You really won't. So that's when I could lead into, like I said, the power of environment is probably a really good place for a lot of people to start. If you have no idea what you want, because outside of self-awareness, I believe the first thing to the success is you have to know what you want. You know what I mean? Know what you want to be, do, and have, or have. And once you define that, and you truly want it, and like I said, clearly define what it is that you want and obtain a burning desire for it. It's Napoleon Hill. It's Andrew Carnegie. It's way back. It's been handed down through so many people. Once you define that, that's I believe outside of the self-awareness piece, that's the first part of like the successful change. But you gotta change the mind. And people say it's all mindset, but a lot of people don't really understand it. You know what I mean? Again, it's just a conscious statement that people say. But the power of environment I wanted to touch on, cause you were talking about people that have like come in and they ultimately do something else. Cause it's absolutely magical. It's amazing. I don't know if he'll ever listen to this, but my brother, he actually got involved with my business, probably almost 2 years ago at this point. Didn't do anything. You know what I mean? But what it really did was within a couple months, he had, started pursuing his true passion of photography. And that to me was more fulfilling than anything. You know what I mean? Cause it wasn't about me at that point. I had probably just hit the point of like, it's not about me. There probably was a little bit of like, damn.
Animosity.
Yeah, come on, work with me. But
yeah.
But again, now there's other doors that open, because I'm not a photographer. I don't do film work and stuff like that. And now I have a resource to be able to create content to actually put out there. And it allows him to do what he loves to do. You know what I mean? And this concept of working with people, or people working for you and stuff like that. You got people that don't want to do what we talk about. And that's fine. If you find your bliss, it's all about your bliss. It's not about like entrepreneurship or even freedom, like whatever freedom is to somebody, it's what it is to them. But if they love their process, again, like we talked about, do that, but find that. So there's nothing wrong with trying different things.
Mm-hmm. And keeping that relationship too. If someone mm-hmm. goes and they do something completely different than you, and you know, obviously if you aren't in the right mindset and you make it about yourself, you're going to have animosity. But if you make it about them and you're happy for them, that relationship.
Truly though.
Even if it, I know, truly, even if it, if, let's say you're, I mean, people can lose relationships with siblings. It happens all the time. But let's say it wasn't your brother and it was just like a random person.
Yeah.
If you would have lost that relationship, you wouldn't have had that resource for content. Maybe you would have with someone else, but imagine he's the best, right?
Yeah.
Now you do. If you keep that relationship, even if someone does not do the same thing as you, that can get you farther mm-hmm. than anything else. I've had it happen so many times when I've come across people that maybe did what I did or never even bothered with it.
Yeah.
Having that connection and just keeping that relationship has opened so many doors, and I'm sure it has for you as well. Yeah. So real quick, I want to end it on something.
Okay.
So I'm going to give you an example of what I'm talking about, so that way it's not so confusing. But like one phrase and thing that you have fully done that has changed how you do things. So for example, I used to litter all the time, all the time. Okay. All the time. My best friend started littering.
Okay.
She left the college. She came back. I was still littering. And she said, Rachel, I literally stopped littering after I left the college. Now that I'm back with you, I'm probably going to start littering again. I said, oh my God. Like, I really just had an impact on somebody like that. I'm not kidding. I wouldn't just litter. Like, I would litter. And I'm ashamed. And if I got a ticket right now, I'd take it. Because you know what? I used to do it. But something changed in me when I heard this phrase. How you do anything is how you do everything. And it may sound cliche, but it's so true. And one of the other things I want to work on, again, was integrity. Not just with, like, you know, I don't stab people in the back. I keep it real when I'm with people. Sometimes I would be too nice. Now I know to be more blunt and straightforward. Not in a negative way, but more so in, like, look, I respect you enough to tell you the truth. And I respect myself enough to tell you the truth.
Yeah.
But with littering, that was an integrity thing that I need to work on, period. And I knew it. And how you do anything is how you do everything. So I stopped. I don't even know how long ago I stopped. I stopped a long time ago. And I haven't done it since. Not once. If I have a straw, literally, in my hand, it's rolled up. Smallest little piece of trash. I'm walking up to the gym. There's a trash can 20 feet away. Mm-hmm. And I can just drop it right here. I will walk to the trash can.
Cool.
I will always re-rack my weights.
Yep.
Always. Because how you do anything is how you do everything. Always. And that has what has that's something that changed everything for me.
Okay.
Honestly. What about you?
There's a couple of good things I could say. I'll say this. I'll say it this way. I said before, I believe we are the creator of our reality. And I believe that everything that happens to us, we either created or it is a prerequisite to get to what we are creating. So the thing I'll say to that is when your attitude is right, the facts don't count.
Give me an example. Give the people an example.
If you just always have a positive attitude on everything that's happened to you and you just take ownership, you take responsibility of it, and just have the trust, the faith, the belief that this is either something that you asked for, believe that you are, or it's a step in getting you where you're supposed to go. And if you don't like where you're going, then take the responsibility for making the necessary changes that you need to make. Or you reach a point where I feel like I am, where I know that everything I experience, I either created it or it's a step to get me to where I want. So you may experience things in your life that you think like, this isn't what I wanted. This isn't what I asked for. Like, why is this happening to me? Why me? Why me? Why me? Poor me and everything like that. But just change the way you look at it, change your perspective and really say, you know what? I either asked for this or this is because something greater is happening. You know what I mean? So again, keep that positive attitude because I believe when your attitude is right, the facts don't count.
I agree. 100%. There's so many things that I could think of, but again, that's a conversation for me and you, just random, like, right? Funny stories.
Cool.
But thank you so much, you guys. Cam Scott, right here, at Cam 6 A's on Instagram. Where else can they find you?
Pretty much on Instagram and Facebook, platform. Cam Scott. Currently not on anything else.
Okay, cool.
You'll probably see some other things come up in the future, though.
Excited. So. I'm excited. Well, thank you guys so much for tuning in. If you feel like you have someone that can benefit from this, go ahead and share it with them. And, of course, if you have anything that you want to hear more about, any certain topics, we're more than happy to do that for you guys. But, again, thank you guys so much for hopping on. This is Rachel and Cam with The Millennial Wave.